Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Lamed Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Learn Lezecha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Yesterday, we in Lamed Ches, we started a sugya with the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Lamed Beis that took us into the world of Eved Kenani. Today's daf, tomorrow's daf. So we're going to tangentially move over to Eved Kenani. Now, not to make any equivalency, but now that I laid out the disclaimer, so Eved Kenani is very much like a woman in the sense that that there's a get. There's a that in order to create separation between the Eved Kenani and his owner, so there needs the get needs to be written. We refer to it as a get shechur, but that has to be written. It'll be a good part of today's topic of discussion regarding the requirement of writing a get shechur, and over the course of today you will see why. In the meantime, however, the sugya that we discussed yesterday, and which quite frankly we finished yesterday, was the topic of what happens when your Eved Kenani is taken as a captive. So, and your Meshach, and you, I'm sorry, not Mishachar, and your Poda, and you redeem the Eved Kenani, and the Tanakam in the Mishnah says it depends why you're doing it. If you're doing it L'shem Cheres, he goes to Ben Chorin, and if you do it L'shem Av, just so he remains an Eved. And then the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mishnah says it doesn't matter what your Kavana is, under all circumstances he's going to be remaining an Eved Kenani. And we explained, is it before Yesh, is it after Yesh? Machlok is between Abai and Rava. Abai said before Yesh, Rava said after Yesh, and that was all part of yesterday's discussion in the Gemara. We find ourselves on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We're at the two dots, Tanur Rabbanan. So we pointed out yesterday that there always creates a tension regarding an Eved Kenani in the sense that there's an Isser in the Torah of Lolam Bam Taravodu. It's an Isser Aseh. The positive commandment of the Torah tells us that when you have an Eved Kenani, so he's supposed to be in servitude to you. He's owned by you in perpetuity. There is no terms for the Eved Kenani. So Lolam Bam Taravodu. And Lolam over here means that he'll be passed on to your children. He's your Yerusha. He's part of your estate. He's a Yerusha. He's passed on to your children. This is the Torah's intent when it comes to an Eved Kenani. And so therefore, freeing an Eved Kenani, although there is a means in doing so, it becomes an avenue in which you can take, but it's an avenue you shouldn't take, because the Torah says, L'olam b'am tavodu. So anytime we talk about an Eved going l'cheres, so as we mentioned yesterday, just to repeat, once an Eved goes l'cheres, it becomes a full-fledged Jew. There's only one direction the Eved Kenani goes once he's freed. He only goes up, not down. Meaning when you become an Eved Kenani, so already at that point in time, you have a certain status, right? You're chayiv and mitzvahs in the Torah. If you're a male, you get a bris milah. You are chayiv in all the mitzvahs in the Torah that a woman is chayiv in, which is most of the mitzvahs in the Torah. So you're Shomer Shabbos, meaning you have basically Jewish status, but not full Jewish status. You can marry a Jew. So that's when you're an Eved Kenani. When you go free, so the only direction you go is up, meaning you become now a full-fledged Jew. So, but on the other hand, Lola Mem Tavodu, on the other hand, the Torah's intent is that they stay in perpetuity in that status. So even though there's a means of freeing them, but you shouldn't free them. And as we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf, sometimes there's going to be such a demand to free them, so then you do so, even though the Torah says Lola Mem Tavodu. So for example, and perhaps the most famous example that we saw yesterday's daf, is that they almost had a minion, there were nine, and they needed that tenth man for the minion, and they noticed the Eved Kenani in the back of the room, there, right, light bulb. Okay, good. So let's free him, and now he'll serve as a tenth man. And despite the fact that the pasuk says Lola Mem Tavodu, but that was a good enough reason to free him.
Unclear.
Yesterday,
new obligation.
Yeah. Yesterday, I briefly pointed out that for the Eved Kenani, from the Eved Kenani's perspective, it's a gerus which is not really. He never asks to go in. Okay. I don't know. Tan Rabbanan, we're on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We're at the two dots. La Olam Mem Tavodu Rishus. Div Rabbi Shmuel. So the way Rabbi Shmuel understands La Olam Mem Tavodu is it's an option, meaning that it doesn't have to be that you are going to enslave them in perpetuity, but certainly you have that option. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chova. Rabbi Kiva says it's a Chova. Now, you'll remember, by the way, this is not the first time that we have seen this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. This was the Gemara in Sota, the beginning of the Masechta Sota. The Gemara had three issues, which was a machlokes between these Tanayim, whether it's a Rishus or whether it's a Mitzvah. So here, we're just citing one example, and that's Lola lamem tavoda, but of course it's germane to our discussion. The Dilma Rebbe Elazar Savala Kamanda Amr Vishos. Now it could be that Rebbe Elazar was the one who freed his Eva Kanani. So it could be that he holds like the Mandam who says Vishos Lo Sagadacha. The Gemara says no. Titanya Rebbe Elazar Omer Chova. So we have a Brayson, right? And the Brayson says, the Rebbe Elazar says that Lo Olam Bahem Tavodu is not a Rishus, it's a Chova. It's an obligation to keep them in slavery in perpetuity. It just happens to be that when there's a mitzvah shani, mitzvah is going to be enough to allow us to free him. Amar Rabba Bani Klas Milan Nachti Bale Batim Nechsehem. Rabba now uses this opportunity to reprimand the balabatim of his time. There are three things where the balabatim during his day, nachtim and nechseim. Nachtim means to go down from their wealth, meaning they became impoverished because of the following. Number one, demafke avdaila cheirusa. They're freeing their slaves, and they're over on the iser aseh. The Torah says, tavodu, they're freeing their slaves, it's not right. Now again, as we just learned, under certain circumstances, it's justified. But generally, it shouldn't be done. And they were doing it. That's number one. Number two, desari nechsayu b'shabasa. Number two is that they were going and looking at their fields on Shabbos. They were not violating Shabbos. It was not an act of melech Shabbos and chilul Shabbos. But what they were doing was desanctifying Shabbos. They were going out to the field, checking out in the field, seeing what the fields needed on Shabbos. So basically, they were tending to their business on Shabbos, not violating Shabbos, but tending to their business. And finally, number three, udikabaisu udaisa b'shabasa, be'idam be'midrasha. And the third thing that they would do is they would make sure to have their meals on Shabbos while the rabbi was giving a drasha. At the time, there was an appointed time where the rav was giving a drasha. And so what they did is, okay, perfect. That's a good time now to have a meal. And so for these three things, so the Rabbi says that they will lose their money. They did lose their money. The Gemara now piggybacks on this last point. There were two families in Yerushalayim. One set up a meal on Shabbos. The other one set up a meal on Erev Shabbos. And both of these families were uprooted. Let's take a look together at Rashi. Rashi over here writes Be'er of Shabbos. Okay. The one thing they did is they set up a meal on Shabbos. Now, based on what we just learned a moment ago, the crime in that is that they set up a meal on Shabbos while the Rav was giving a drasha. So having a meal on Shabbos, that's a good thing. We want that. That's a part of mitzvahs and onik Shabbos. But what they were doing is that they were setting it up during the Rav's drasha, and the Gemara says that's a bad thing. And that's why these families were nekru. But then it says that they set up a meal on Erev Shabbos. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi together. It's an interesting Rashi. Erev Shabbos, Rashi writes, Beleili Shabbos. So what they did is they set up a meal on the night of Shabbos, meaning Friday night. Now, you would say, I would say, it sounds like a good thing. It doesn't sound bad. Rashi goes on to write, the ain kan kavah Shabbos, the kaimalan kavah yom karam lekavah laila. So v'heim hayu miskavnim bishvil bito beis medrash. So one pshat in Rashi goes as follows: is that if there's if you're limited in resources and there's a choice of what do I give more honor to, the Friday night meal or the Shabbos day meal? Shabbos day. Gemara Pesachim, Rashi quotes it, Shabbos day meal should take precedence over the Friday night meal. So, what they were doing is that they were accentuating, they were highlighting the Friday night meal, and Rashi says, and really, the real intent was to be Mavata the base Medrash. Okay. So that is number one. Number one pshat in Rashi. And then Rashi offers a second pshat. V'igit mefarshi b'erev Shabbos, mamish. Now, Erev Shabbos over here, it doesn't necessarily have to mean Friday night. Erev Shabbos over here can mean Friday afternoon. They set up a meal on Friday afternoon. V'chein b'chol yom mirav osher. And the truth of the matter is that they were doing this because they were so wealthy. Ava bahamia ike sura. Now, having a meal every day, a lavish meal every day, okay, that's, nothing wrong with that. Okay. Other hashkafic issues, but nothing wrong with that. On Friday, however, there's a halachic issue. Rashi says, Ika Yisura, she comes to Shabbos kishu saveh below tava. Because what's going to happen, you're going to go into Shabbos while full and not having an appetite. And to do that every Friday, and to go into every Friday night being full already and not having an appetite, so that's not good. So that is the other thing they did. The second explanation of Rashi in terms of what these Anshe Yerushalayim, what these families, these wealthy families in Yerushalayim that were doing, that was so wrong. The Gemara of Psachim, right in the beginning of the 10th parak of Psachim, discusses extensively whether or not you're allowed to eat a meal on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontov. Erev Pesach, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. But Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov is a machlokas Tanayim, and we assume the halach is like Rav Yossi, that you're allowed to. But what our Gemara now is supplementing is that even though you're allowed to, but it's highly not recommended. It's and the Gemara doesn't, you know, Rashi calls it an Isser. I think Rashi's talking even within the context of the opinion of Rav Yossi, who says that it's mutter. But I think it's just that even though it's technically mutter, but it's highly not recommended, you won't have an appetite for Shabbos. And also, I think the key in Rashi is the word koveya, meaning they did it every Friday, which really showed a lack of cover for Shabbos. Amar Rabba. Okay, this really begins today's daf, meaning this discussion that we're going to start now goes throughout the entirety of Daf Lamed Tes and Gittin. So really, you could highlight this part now as the beginning of today's daf, if you will. The Gemara starts off the following discussion. Now, again, remember as it relates to our Eved Kenani. Our Eved Kenani, as we just learned, should not be freed, but there's a mechanism to do so. The mechanism to do so is basically you have ownership on him in terms of a financial ownership, meaning he's an asset, you own him as an asset, but on top of that as well, there's also a status of the Eved Kenani. And you'll see what I mean as we go through the following discussion. Amar Rabba Amar Rab. The Gemara quotes Rabba in the name of Rab. Hamakdish Avdu Yatzal Cheres. Let's say you're Makdish your Eved. You're Makdish your Eved Kenani. Now, you can be Makdish any asset that you have, meaning you have a car or a boat, right? You know, the shuls are asking for your cars, for a donation of your old cars. So you have a car, you have a boat, you have any asset, so you can dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is obviously not interested in your car. Beis HaMikdash is only interested in the value of the car. Beis HaMikdash will sell the car for its value, and any income that it earned based on the sale is going to be for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, simple idea of being Makdish your Nechasim. Now we're talking about being Makdish your Eved Kenani. Okay, it's interesting. He's an asset, meaning he is part of your property. And so therefore the question now becomes, when you're Makdish your Eved Kenani, what exactly happens? So Rav is of the opinion that I'm Makdish Avdo Yatzal L'Cheres. So once you're Makdish your Eved Kenani, so that's it, he goes free. My time, Agufa Lo Kaddish. Now, why is it that he goes free? Because the one thing that you cannot do is you cannot be makdish the guf of the Eved. Unlike an animal that could be offered as a carbon on the Mizbeach, so you could be makdish the animal itself. But over here we're talking about a person. We're talking about an Eved Kenani. You can't be makdish the guf of the Eved Kenani. So at best what you could be doing is you could be dedicating the value of the Eved Kenani towards the Beis HaMikdash. But you didn't say damim. You simply said, I'm being makdish my Eved Kenani. What did you mean when you said you were going to be makdish your Eved Kenani? So, l'demelo kamar delahave, am kadosh kamar. So what you meant was that he should be am kadosh. You gave him an upgrade. You basically said, I'd want him to have more kedusha. How can the Eved Kenani have more kedusha? Easy. He goes free. He becomes now a ben chorin. And that's how it can become an Am Kadosh. So Rav says that when you say you're being Makdish, you have a Kenani, that immediately means he goes free. We'll get to that. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Amafkir Avdei Yatzal Cheres. Now Rav Yosef quotes Rav, and he says that if you're a Mafkir, you declare your Eved Kenani ownerless, so then he goes free. So now, there are two statements made in the name of Rav. Rav's statement and Rav Yosef's statement. And they both are saying that under certain circumstances the Eved Kenani goes free. Rabbah quotes it, Rav is saying Makdish. Rav Yosef quotes Rav is saying Mafkir. Would they be in agreement with one another? The Gemara says not necessarily. Now, if you say Makdish, Makdish is a bigger Chiddush. Because Makdish is not saying that I'm declaring my Eved Kenani ownerless. I'm saying I'm being Makdish. It could be interpreted as I'm dedicating him and his value to the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabba saying that Rav says no. What it means is I'm actually upgrading him to the status of being a Ben Chorin. So, if you say Makdish, for sure you agree to Mafkir. Because Mafkir basically means I'm I'm removing myself, my ownership over this person. And now this person, again, there's only one way for him to go, and that's up to become a ben chorin. Manda, I'm a mafkir of a makdish lo. If you subscribe to the viewpoint that Rav only said it regarding mafkir, but he would not have said it regarding makdish. Why? Because dimala demay kamar. Because when you say makdish, it could be interpreted as I want his value to be owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Not him himself, but his value. The Gemara now wants to know. Good. According to Rabbah, in the name of Rav, when you're Maktish, you have a Kanani, he goes free. He goes free. Do you have to write him a get shechrer? So tzarich get shechrer lo tzarich tashma da amarav chia bar avin amarav echazev echazev yasalacheres vitzarich get shechrer. There is a requirement of get shechrer. Let's say it now, and we're going to say it a couple times over the course of this morning. It's just this is really the yisod of today's daf, and that is the following: why are you writing a get shechrer? He's ownerless. In the case of Makdish, you gave him an upgrade, meaning you basically sent him to becoming a Jew. In the case of Mafkir, you declared him ownerless. Why do you have to write a get shechur? Because, and I've touched on this earlier this morning, but this is really the yesod, that when you own an Eved Kanani, you own two things. You own the king, and you have a king in Mammon. You own him from a monetary standpoint, and you also have what we call a king in Isser. You own his status. When you declare him ownerless, the only thing you're relinquishing at that point in time is the money. Meaning, I'm saying now I own the money, I no longer own the money. But you still have an ownership over the status. How do you break that ownership over the status? How do you remove the king and Isser? You remove it by get shechur. That's why, even after you declare him ownerless, that only separates you from the king and mammon. To remove the king and Isser, that's why you need to get shechur. Okay, you're going to see this idea present itself time and again, that there really are two ownerships that you have over the Eved Kanani.
Yeah. Is there a concept of Arachim by Kanani?
By what?
Erach. In other words, just give the value of the product. What do you do a Jew?
Could be. It could be. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. Amar Rabba umosvinan ashmaiten hamakdish. Okay, so. Rabbah says that when I quoted Rav, that Rav says that when you're Makdish, you have a Kanani, he goes free immediately, and his value does not go to the base of Mikdash. It bothered me because of the following. So if you're Makdish, your assets. Okay, again, you're the person now who has reached the point in your life where you realized, what do I need all this material, all my material wealth? I don't need it. So the person gave it all to the base of Mikdash. And amongst his estate, there was Avadim. So what happens to the Avadim? In a Gizbarim Rasham Lotzim L'Cheiros. So the Gizbarim just can't simply let him go free. Aval, Mochrin Osam L'Acherim. So what the Gizbar can do is sell it to somebody else. V'Acherim Otzin Osam L'Cheiros. And that other person will then be allowed to go to set him free. Okay. Rashi over here. Important Rashi. Why is it that the Gizbar cannot allow him to go free? So, Rashi, Eina Gizbarim Rasham Lahotzim Lecheirus, VeAfilu. Rashi is right alongside where we are in the Gemara. VeAfilu LeKabel Miada Eved Pidjono DeKaimalan Eved Kona Esatzma BeKesef Im Nasan Lo Amanasha In LaRabba Rishos Bo Poda Esatzma Miad BaAlav. So we know that an Eved Kanani can free himself if somehow he can be given money to the exclusion of his owner, which can legally be done, so he can free himself. VeHani Gizbarim Ein Rishayin LeKach. A Gizbar, however, cannot do that. The temple treasurer cannot free him for the following reason, says Rashi. She'ein gufan kanu lehekdesh. Shelo hikdishan ela ledaman. Because Gizbar never owns the Eved Kanani. Even when someone donates an Eved Kanani to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not the pshat that the Gizbar owns the Eved Kanani, he doesn't. The only thing he does is owns the monetary value of such an Eved Kanani. V'zu derech shichruhu, v'lo derech mechira. Ava mochen oson lacherim. So the only thing the Gizbar can do is sell him to somebody else, meaning because the Gizbar has the right now, because they have the monetary, they own the monetary value of an Eved Kanani, not the Eved Kanani himself. So now you can basically sell him to somebody else. The hadamim lehekdesh, the money now will go to hekdesh. The osam acherim, now that the Eved Kanani has an owner, so then motzi nasal acherim yirtzu. So if the second owner wants to free him, so the second owner is allowed to free him. So Rashi explains that the reason why the Gizbar can never free the Eved Kanani, even as the Eved Kanani has been transferred over to the Gizbar, is because the Gizbar never owns the actual Eved Kanani himself. So, why are we quoting this Mishnah in Kiddushin? So let's read on. Rabbi Omer Omerani, Rabbi's of the opinion, this is still the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Avhu no sein deme atzmo v'yotze. He could pay his own way out. Meaning again, like Rashi said, if somebody were to give him money to the exclusion of his owner, so that he has his own money, so he can buy himself. Because it's like he's selling himself.
There's a legal
means in which doing so. So this Mishnah is telling us that when a person is makdish his eved, what just happened? His eved did not go free. So now the question really turns on Rav. Rav's version of Rav. Rav, you said that when you're makdish your eved kanani, he goes free. I'm showing you a Mishnah. It's a Braisa. I'm showing you a Braisa where the Braisa says that an eved kanani does not go free, but actually he is now his dhamim, his value is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash can turn around now and sell that, but he doesn't go free. Rav, what are you going to say about that? So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The Braisa goes against me. Okay, Rav has the ability to argue against the Tana. Rav is right on the border between Tanaim and Amorayim. He is the bridge between the two. He can argue on the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. The Torah goes on to describe where you can dedicate anything to the Beis HaMikdash, including Me'adam. You can also dedicate humans. What humans are you dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash? Eilu avad mushvachos kananim. And now the Kananis, Shifcha Kananis, they can be dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, we turn our attention to Rav. Rav, you said that when you're Makdash, your Eved Kanani goes free. Meanwhile, I'm showing you a Braisa, and as Rashi points out, it's more than a Braisa, it's really a Pasuk in the Torah. Here you can't say Rav Tanu Palik. I'm quoting a Pasuk in the Torah that says that a person is dedicating his Eved Kanani to the Beis HaMikdash. So that clearly means that if he's makdish his eved kanani, he doesn't go free, like you say. So Rav's answer over here is that, oh, that Braisa was talking about where the owner said specifically, I'm not being makdish my eved kanani, I'm being makdish the demei eved kanani, the value of the eved kanani. That's what the Braisa / pasuk is describing. But if you're being makdish your eved kanani, he immediately goes free. Gemara says that's a good answer. In fact, it's such a good answer. How come in the previous Braisa we didn't use this answer? It's excellent. So the Gemara says, no, in the previous Braisa this answer wouldn't work. And the Gemara gives a number of explanations why. So because remember in that first Braisa that we quoted, there was a mention of the Gizbarim. So Gizbarim Mayavita Tayu. So the Gemara says, if we're what are the Gizbarim do? If we're talking about Demei, so what do the Gizbarim have involvement? And then we talked about in that Braisa about the sale of the Eved Kanani to somebody else. Once again, if we're only talking about the Demei, so what are the Gizbarim handling the Eved Kanani? How is this Eved Kanani being sent to somewhere else? Meaning, if you say the word Demei, what do you owe the Beis HaMikdash? Not the Eved Kanani, simply the value of the Eved Kanani. When Beis HaMikdash knocks on your door, they're not going to ask for the Eved Kanani. They're only going to be asking for the monetary value of the Eved Kanani. Clearly, the first Braisa, you did not say the word Demei. Vesu, Rabbi Omer Omer Ani, Afu Nosin Demei Atzma, V'yotzim in Meshu Kamochro, Lo, V'ila Demei, Ma'im in Meshu Kamochro, Lo. And again, it's basically the same point. Meaning, according to Rabbi, the Eved Kanani can even sell himself. So, again, if the word demei was employed over there, what are we talking about the sale of the Eved Kanani? There was never an obligation on the Eved Kanani. The whole obligation was just simply on the owner giving the value of the Eved Kanani. So clearly that first Braisa was not talking about the word demei. That's why the first Braisa posed a serious challenge over to Rav. And there the Gemara had to say, Rav Tanu Palik. But on the second Braisa, the explanation of the owner said le demei is a very plausible explanation. Tashma. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Chesem and Beis. Hamakdish Avdo Osev Ochesh Lo Hikdish Al Adamav. If you're Makdish, you're Eved. So the Eved does not go to the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Eved Kanani stays home with you. Osev Veochel. He works for you. He eats with you. The only thing you were Makdish was only the Dhamim. Only the value of the Eved Kanani. Now, once again, this poses a challenge to Rav. Rav, as quoted by Rabba, says that once you're Makdish your Eved Kenani, he goes free. Period. Done. And meanwhile, what are you going to do with this Mishnah or this Brisa? The Gemara's response, top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Hamani Rabbi Meir Hi, Damar Eina Damotzi Dvar Levatala. That Brisa goes like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, when a person says something, we don't simply pass it off as he just say. That's a guy saying things. When a person says something, he always has an intent behind what he says. Even if it doesn't make sense, we'll make sense out of it. Rashi gives a classic example over here. Let's say a person turns to a newborn, and the baby's under 30 days old, and he says, I want to give the erech of this baby. Now, the Torah gives us a schedule of what is the erech of somebody. It's based on age and based on gender. And it starts at 30 days and onward. There is no erech for someone under the age of 30. And when someone points to a baby and says, I want to give the erech of that infant under the age of 30, so it's a nonsense statement that doesn't make sense. Rav Meir says, we'll make sense out of it. He didn't mean erech. He meant, I want to give the value of that baby to the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rav Meir will always do that. He will always say that, he will always understand that a person, even when making a statement which at face value doesn't make sense, will make sense of it. You can't dedicate your Evik Kanani to the Beis HaMikdash. He's not a carbon. He's not building material. What are you saying? So Rav Meir, by definition, will say that what he's saying is, I'm offering its value to the Beis HaMikdash. So once the Brisa is going like Rav Meir, it no longer poses a challenge to Rav. Rav will tell you, I don't agree with Rav Meir. So when a person says, I'm being makdish my Eved, what he meant was, the Eved can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to make sense of that statement. The Eved's going to go free. That's what it must mean. Hachanami Mestab, but the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, we just offered a pshat, and it's an excellent pshat. Why? Diktani Sefer, because if you read on in that brisa, V'cheinu sheikish atzmo, Osev ha'ochel sheikish al adamav. A person's being makdish himself, meaning he's a ben chorin. He's being makdish himself to the Beis HaMikdash. I dedicate myself to the Beis HaMikdash. What is that? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what that is. He is basically offering his value to the Beis HaMikdash. We all have a market value. I'd hate to think what my market value actually is, but we all have a market value. And generally, even though by Ben Chorin, we don't generally speak in those terms of what's your market value, what's my market value. But again, the author of the Brisa is Rav Meir. So therefore, even though he's saying a statement which at face value makes no sense, will make sense of it. The Gemara says, "Yeah, my Bishlam Rav Meir, who if the author of the Brisa is Rav Meir Shapir, great. I totally understand. We're making sense of a nonsensical statement. Look, if the author of the Brisa is the Chachamim, I can argue that according to the Chachamim, the idea of being Makdish and Eved is not so far-fetched. Fine. The value of an Eved Kenani. But if you're talking about a Ben Chorin, people don't generally know their market value. That's not how people talk regarding a Ben Chorin. So therefore, the author of the Brisa seems most probably to be like Rav Meir. The Gemara is saying it's a good pshat that we just offered. Okay. The Gemara now is going to suggest that this issue of whether when you're Makdish your Eved Kenani, does he go free or does he not go free? This is subject to a machlokas tanayim. Consider the following. The Brisa says, you're makdish your Eved. According to the Tanakhama, there is no me'ilah by this Eved Kenani. Meaning, the Eved Kenani is not kadosh, and if I misappropriate the Eved Kenani, I'm not in violation of the Isra me'ilah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there is me'ilah, but only regarding the hair of the Eved Kenani. Okay, stay tuned. My love, Bahakimifla Gidon Gemara now offers this suggestion in terms of what the machlokas is. Mar Savakadosh, Mar Savalo Kadosh. Maybe this is exactly the machlokas of whether or not the Eved is or is not Kadosh. The Gemara says, no, Vitizbara. This doesn't make any sense. Hi Mo Alambo, Vaim Alambo, Hi Kadosh, Vainu Kadosh Me Baile. First of all, if they're arguing as to whether or not the Eved Kenani is Kadosh or not, so first of all, let's say it. Meaning, why doesn't the Brisa just address the issue straight on? Either the Eved Kenani is Kadosh or it's not. What are we? Why is the Brisa talking about Me'ilah? Ela dekuli ama kadosh v'hach kuli ama kadosh. Everyone's of the opinion in this particular Brisa that when you're Makdish your Eved Kenani has a level, a status of Kedusha. V'hach v'hakimif l'gimar sever avda kimakarka dami umar sever kimataltel dami. And now it's just a question of accounting. The Eved Kenani has a status of Kedusha. How do we file our Eved Kenani? Do we put him under the category of property and real estate? Or do we put him under the category of movables? We know. Rashi quotes, there is no me'ila by karka. there's only Me'ilah by Metaltalin. Okay, Rashi quotes the Drasha, Rashi quotes the Taurus Kohanim. Anyway, that's the Halacha. That there's only Me'ilah by Metaltalin, not by Karka. So now, the question in accounting over here is, if the Eved is like Karka, so therefore there's no Me'ilah by the Eved, even though the Eved belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And if the Eved is filed under Metaltalin, so then there would be Me'ilah by the Eved Kanani. This is now how the Gemara is setting it up. Gemara says, it's not a good pshat. If that's the issue, so then what are we discussing Me'ilah by the hair of the Eved Kanani? If we're filing the Eved Kanani under Metaltalin, the entire Eved Kanani should be subject to Me'ilah. Ela dekuli ama avdika mekarkei damis. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to refine this debate even better. Really, the Eved Kanani is filed under Karka. Like we said yesterday, like we're saying again today, you're going to hear this time and again. Categorically, halachically, an Eved Kanani is like Karka. Transaction of the Eved Kanani is done just like Karka. The Gemara over here says, in the world of Me'ilah, the Eved Kanani is just like Karka. V'hacha kissa, I'm sorry, bisaro omed ligazus kemifligi. Over here, the debate goes like this. The Eved Kanani is like Karka. But the Eved Kanani is a human, growing hair, and fingernails as well, but just right now we'll focus to the hair, is growing hair, and now the question becomes as follows. The hair, which the Eved Kanani is in desperate need of a haircut. Okay, how do we view the hair? Omed ligazes. Really, he needs it. He needs a haircut. So it's standing to be cut. Do we view it as it's already cut or not? A classic discussion throughout the Gemara. The Gemara has it right here. Man savar ki gazuz dami, umar savar lav ki gazuz dami. So it's like, to make a very simple analogy, it's like a field with the fruit in the field. When the fruit is connected to the tree, the fruit is considered karka. Once the fruit is plucked out of the tree, the fruit now is metaltalin. Okay, so over here, basically, right, and you'll see that my analogy is a simple one, and the Gemara is going to actually go with it. So that's why I presented such a simple analogy. Over here, the hair on the Eved Kanani. So it's long, he needs a haircut. Do we view it now, even though it's connected, as if it's already detached? The Gemara says, that's the machlokas. The Eved, it's Kanani himself, is considered karka and therefore not subject to Me'ilah. The hair that stands to be cut, maybe even though it's not yet cut, we can view it as if it's already cut. Lema hani tanai, kehani tanai. The Gemara says that, well, once we're saying that, we can now line up this machlokas with the following machlokas. Did not. Reb Meir Omer Yeshivam Shem Kakarka Vein and Kakarka. Vein Chachamim Modim Lo. Reb Meir says that sometimes things are property, but we can view them as metaltalin. Ketzad. Now, just to understand this next halacha we're about to learn, so we're all familiar with Modim and Miksas. I make a claim against you. You make a partial admission. So the Torah mandates that the one who made a partial admission has to make a shvua on the part that he's denying. It's what we call Modim and Miksas. Again, basic rule regarding shvua, you only make a shvua metaltalin. There is no shvua on karka. So if my claim is against karka and your counterclaim, your partial admission on the karka, there's not going to be a shvua. Okay, that's the basic halacha. So the Gemara over here discusses the following. Eser gefanim to unos masarti lach. So the towing says, I entrusted you with 10 vines. All the vines had grapes on them. Laden with grapes. V'hala omer eino ela chamesh. And the nitan and the counterclaim is, not 10, 5. Not 10. So here, it's mod mimitzas. But it's on vines connected to the ground with the grapes connected to the vine. So that's property. You don't make a shvua on property. Rameir says, you're chayv modem mimitzas. And the chachamim say no. Now, what's the machlokas? It's connected to the ground. The chachamim are right. The amr of Yosef Rabbi Chanina and Avim Almdim Libatsir, Iga Beinaihu. We're right at the time of harvest. The grapes are still connected to the ground, but it's harvest time, and they're about to be detached. And Rav Meir's viewpoint is, if they're about to be detached, we view them as detached already. And that's why, even though connected to the ground, they're filed under the category of metaltalin, and so therefore this is a case of modi b'mixas, which requires a shvua. And de Rav Meir savar, kibitziros damyan, v'rabbanan savre, lav kibitziros damyan. And so now the Gemara is trying to draw a parallel between this case we just learned by modem and mixas and the previous case on the hair on the Eved Kanani. The Eved Kanani files under the category of karka. There's not going to be Me'ilah by the Eved Kanani. What about the hair? He needs a haircut. The hair that stands to be cut. So it's a machlokus in the previous brisa. Much like over here, we're having machlokus at the grapes at harvest time. So the Gemara says, I can perhaps draw a distinction between these two cases. Look, grapes at harvest, they need to be harvested. You can't leave the grapes on. Leaving the grapes on are bad for the grapes. So in the case of the grapes on the vine, Remer will offer the argument of Omei li batzer ke batzer dami. They stand to be harvested and I need to harvest them. That's why we can already view them as being detached. Hair on the body, however, avahacha kama dekai ashbuche mishabech. As long as the hair is connected to the body, it's mishubach. Okay, I don't totally understand what that means, but in other words, you get more hair. Okay, okay. Anyway, point being, hair and grapes are not really to be compared. The Omei li batzer argument by the grapes cannot be translated over to the hair. Kisa l'grabi chayav by Yosef Amar lahashmaita derav kamei derav Yochanan. Okay, now remember, we started off the morning by discussing the halacha of Rav. Rav says that if you were to be Makdish or Mafkir, you're Eved Kenani, so he goes free. Okay, again, two versions of Rav, Rabba's version, Rav Yossi's version, but according to Rabba, if you're Makdish or you're Mafkir, either one, so your Eved Kenani goes free. So Rav was living out in Bavel, so this statement of Rav now gets reported to Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. His reaction, Amar le Amar Rav Hachi. So Rav Yochanan's reaction is, really? He said what? He said that? So now, Vehulo Amar Hachi, now the Gemara says, now wait one second. As Rashi points out, now this is the editor of the Gemara now inserting the following. And what's Rav Yochanan getting so excited about? Meaning, he said the same thing. Veha Amar Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hamafkir Avdo Yasel Echeros, Vitzarek Get Shechur. That if you're Mafkir, you have a Kenani, he goes free, and you also have to write him a Get Shechur. So, why is Rav Yochanan being so astounded by what Rav said? Well, meanwhile, Rav Yochanan said the exact same thing. Okay. So, Hachi Kamarle. So, the Gemara understands it to be like this. Ama Rav Kavasi. We didn't understand what was Rav Yochanan so incredulous about. What he was so incredulous about is that he was flattered. He's like, really? I said it. And Rav said it also? He loved it. That's one version of how the discussion went. The Gemara has a slightly different version of what was Rav Yochanan so incredulous about. When this was reported in front of Rav Yochanan, so only the first statement was, not the second statement. What's the first statement? That when you're mafkir, you have a kenani, he goes free. Now the one who was reporting to Rav Yochanan didn't let him finish, because that's only step one. That's only the Kinyan Mamon. There's also a Kinyan Isser. You also have to write a Get Shechur. Now Rav said it, but the person who reported to Rav Yochanan didn't get to finish that second sentence. Amalev Alo Amar Rav Tzarech Get Shechur. Now that's what Rav Yochanan was offended by. Meaning, what about a Get Shechur? So Rav Yochanan Tamid Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan Mafkir Avdi Yotzal Echeres Vitzarech Get Shechur. And we know Rav Yochanan demands, even after Hefkerus, demands a Get Shechur. So that's what Rav Yochanan got all excited about. But then, I mean, the Gemara doesn't give us the end of the story, but then I guess the guy who reported to Rav Yochanan says, no, Rav also says you need to get Shechur. Oh, no, okay. The two of you are saying the same thing. Gufa. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan Mafkir Avdi Yasel Echeres Vitzarech Get Shechur. The Gemara now is going to analyze the statement of Rav Yochanan. Eisvei. The Gemara is going to challenge. Sorry. Eisvei Rav Abba Leula. Rabbi Abba challenges Ula with the following. Ger Shemes. So we have a convert in town and he dies, and it's really unfortunate. And I say that, and of course it's unfortunate, but at the same time, however, what happens to the property of the ger? He doesn't have an heir. Okay? So it's dark comedy, but everyone's descending on his property. Really, really so sorry to see him go, as everyone's taking his house, his car, his, okay. But anyway, Ger Shemesu Bizbu, he's still on the Chazav, and people now are coming onto his property, and whoever takes first, obviously, he's going to acquire. Vayabem Avadim, Engedolim, Benketanim, Kanu Atzman, Bnei Chorin. But let's say, as part of the estate of this Ger who just died, he has an Eved Kenani. They go free. they go free, and it doesn't matter whether they were adults or they were minors, they go free. Because once the ger dies, so that he has no heirs, so they've now become hefker. And what's the question? Who wrote the get shichur?
Right.
That's the question. So Abishol Omer Gedolim Kanalatzman Benichorim Ketanim Kol Machzik Behem Zacha Behem. Now Abishol disagrees on the following. He says that the gadol does in fact go free, but the Evi Kanani Katan, so they don't go free, and whoever acquires them acquires them. Kol Machzik Behem Zacha Behem. Now we'll come back to Abishol in just a moment, but right now the question is obvious: who wrote the get shichur? The answer is nobody, and yet they go free. So Ula, what are you going to say about this? V'chi mi kasav get shechur la'elu. Gemara articulates the question. Amar, Ula's response is, you call that a question? That's not a question. Dami haimid rabbanan kedalo garmi in shishmaite. So first Ula says, it's as if you never learned. Okay. Another. He didn't think it to be a question. V'time amai rab nachman kasavar Ula avdo deger ki ishto. Okay, and again, now here we see it straight out. I mentioned this earlier this morning, and now the Gemara says it as super clear. When it comes to your Evi Kanani, again, the bialus of an Evi Kanani manifests in two ways. Number one, there's a mamun. You own the Evi Kanani. You own him as an asset, as a monetary asset. Number two, there is a kinyan iser. You own the status of the Evi Kanani. Much like when a man and woman are married. Now, he doesn't own her financially. She's not his property. She's an independent entity. She's a bas chorin. But he has a kinyan iser on the wife. He's mekadesh her. Once he's mekadesh her, so that's it. She now is usher to be with anyone else. And the only way that iser is lifted is through a get. Or through death. So now, Ula says, it's the same thing over here. Once the gear dies, so the financial ownership is gone, he doesn't have an heir, so there's no longer mamun, there's no longer king and mamun. And there's no longer king and isser. What about the get shichur? There's no need for a get shichur. Much like when a man dies, his wife goes free, the king and isser is gone. So too, when the gear dies, the king and isser is gone. That's Ula says, and that's how you learn. and that's why this doesn't pose itself as a problem. So ki ishta ma ishta mishtacha below get afavadav mishtachim below get. Gemara says that's Ula's response. I hachi afil Yisrael nami. So now, okay. So I'm curious. So if you're right, so now let's have not a ger, but a Yisrael who owns an Evi Kanani, and the Yisrael dies. What happens to the Evi Kanani? Evi Kanani goes free. No. Evi Kanani now is part of the estate and goes down to the next generation. Why should that be? Didn't you just equate an Evi Kanani to an Isha? When a man dies, the Isha goes free without a get. So if a Yisrael dies and he owns an Evi Kanani, shouldn't he just go free? So the Gemara says, there's a pasuk. Amakrav isnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem lareshes achuza. No, because there's a Yerusha. So once there's a recipient of the Yerusha, so the Evi Kanani now just simply transfers to the next generation. Ihachi amafker avdo v'ameis nami. So the Gemara says, okay, but I will, fine. I understand everything now. A ger dies, the Evi Kanani goes free with no need for a get shichur because the misa creates the release of the iser. I get it. And if a Jew dies owning an Evi Kanani, he goes down to the next generation because it's a pasuk. I get that as well. But consider the following. Hamafkir avdov ameis. Let's say a person is mafkir is Evi Kanani. Yisrael. And then after declaring him ownerless, now the Evi Kanani cannot go free yet. Because there still is the absence of a get shichur. And then let's say that this Yisrael, after being mafker as Evi Kanani, then he dies. And this is a problem. Because the Evi Kanani was released financially, but not released from Isser.
No get written.
And there was no get written. And Alama Amar Amemar, on this Amemar says, Hamafker avdav ameis oso ha'eved ein lo takana. This Evid now doesn't have a solution. Meaning he's going to be in a really unfortunate state of being free, but not being free. And nobody can write the get shichur.
Why not an heir?
The heir does not write. So let's say this. It's so interesting. Because once there's no longer a mamon, a kinyan mamon, you don't inherit a kinyan iser. The kinyan iser is connected to kinyan mamon, and the kinyan mamon, the only thing transferable to the next generation is kinyan mamon. Once there's no longer a kinyan mamon, the kinyan iser is not transferable to the next generation. Okay, so the Ameh Merkasha. And the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. I can't put Ula together with Amemar. The two of them do not coordinate. Because remember, according to Ula, the Misas Habal removes the Isser of his wife. Yeah. Similar to the Misas Adon removing the Kinyan Isser on the Eved Kenani. I would say over here, Ula would say, not I. Ula would say over here, yeah, the in such a scenario where a Yisrael's mafker is Eved Kenani, and then he dies, so then there was a release from the mamon, and there was a release from the iser. A Amemar, who obviously doesn't agree with that, so you're right. Ula and Amemar are not in conjunction with one another. Amar of Yaakov, Bidi Amar of Yeshua, Manleva, Allah, Ka Abishal. Now, we go back to the statement of Abishal. When the ger died, so again, there's a land grab. Everyone descends on his house, and anyone who takes is acquires, because again, the ger does not have yorshim. So everyone could take. Assuming, by the way, that the ger died without children.
Except the
Eved Kenani, however, goes free, and according to the Tanakhama, whether it's a gadol or whether it's a katan. According to Abishal, no. If it's a gadol, the gadol goes free. If it's a katan, so whoever takes the katan acquires the katan. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Allah is like Abishal. Amalei Rabbi Zerler, Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idi, Beferish, Shmi'alach, O Mechlala, Shmi'alach. Okay, did you hear this explicitly? Or did you derive this, did you deduce it from something else that he said? So my klala, the Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, the Gemara says, well, it could be that it was deduced from the following. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi made the following statement. Amar lifnei Rebbe, Amar nisiyashti miploni avdi, mahu. A person has yesh on his Eved Kenani. Okay, now they lost his Eved Kenani and said, you know what? Nisiyashti. Or not even lost it, just yesh. He uses the lashon of yesh. Amalem omrani ein lo takana ela bishtar. So his response is okay. He still can't marry a Bas Yisrael until a shtar is written up. Now the meaning shtar shichur. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan my tam and the Rabbi Gamar lala meisha meisha bishtar af evanami bishtar. And just like a woman, in order to release the kinyan iser on the woman, needs a shtar. Otherwise, what we've been calling since the beginning of Masechta get. So too regarding an Eved Kenani, if you want to allow him to marry a Jew, so he also needs a shtar. He needs a shtar shichur. The kadi akdemine. Now. On this, what did we say? We made the following diuk. Ki isha ma'isha yisur v'lo mamona af evanami yisur v'lo mamona. So, and the comparison is that of a woman. Now, with a woman, once again, what is the ownership of a woman? The ownership of a woman is only king and iser, not mamon. A man doesn't own his wife monetarily. She's not a possession. So too, af evanami yisur v'lo mamona. So too, regarding the eved. The eved is limited to the iser and not to the mamon. So as Rashi points out over here. Now, how does this translate to? We now see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi passes like Abishal in the previous brisa. So if you take a look at the Rashi, v'kadiyakdimine, Rashi writes, came into Rabbi Misha, yalef la, Rabbi learns it out from Isha, I Rabbi ela b'mafkir, ave gadol, sheyesh lo yad liknos atzmo, umishayif kiru, ein lo alav ela iser. We're talking about a gadol, where once released, so therefore he has no longer any monetary claim on him, just an iser. Avalo mamon kisha azusha get shala eno balaf ki amamon sheyesh lo alav ela iser. Ava be'eved katan lo airi Rebbe. Rebbe cannot be talking about an eved katan. Why not? The lav dumi di ishahu di ika drar mamona alaha uvi di day svirle di yeshla takana b'shivcha de lo kana atzma behefker. When it comes to the katan doesn't have monetary ownership. not like the gadol, not like an isha. So you see from the statement of Rebbe comparing the Eved to the isha that we can only be talking about a gadol, we cannot be talking about a katan. And that shows us that according to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, in the previous case where the ger died and he left gadolim, perfect. In other words, the gadol is just like a woman. He is not, there's no longer money, there's just iser. Fine. And he goes free. But not a katan, because by katan, the katan cannot acquire himself through the mammon. Okay. So that's the klala. That's how you saw that Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is siding with Abishal. But the Gemara points out, it's not absolutely conclusive. The mechlala my amale my amale adaraba dok minach leidach yisa. I could have made the following argument, and that is, what do you mean? You just compared an Eved Kenani to a woman. Now, can a woman receive a get when she's a katana? Absolutely, sure. So, my isha ben gadol ben katana af evanami ben gadol ben katan. In other words, the deal could have been that a woman is a recipient of a get whether she's a gadol, or I should say gadola or katana. We could say the same thing by the Eved Kenani as well. So Amalei beferish me'ali. So he says, you know what? I didn't deduce this halacha of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi through a deduction of the statement of Rabbi, but rather I heard it out explicitly. Okay, we're going to just do this one more time. Meaning the Gemara is going to say it over again. It's almost going to be an identical discussion. Let's go. I'll do this very quickly. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan ein halacha ka b'shal. So here in this next version, the halacha is not like Abishal. Amalei. Well, how do you know that? My klal adam Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, amr lefnei Rabbi, nisyashim miploni avdi, mahu? What if a person has yesh over his Eved Kenani? I'm alem, omrani, ein lo takana ela bishtar. Okay, you've released the finances of the Eved Kenani, but you have to still write a get shichur. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my tamad Rabbi, gamar lala miisha. And the reason why is because we learn it out through a gzeres shava from Isha, my Isha Bishtar of Evanami Bishtar. Just like the release of a woman is done through a get, so to the release of an Eved Kenani is done through a get. Because they act in a Kisha, my Isha ben Gadola ben Katana, of Evanami ben Gadola ben Katan. So here in the second version, we actually prefer the second argument. This, in what previously was the second argument. Meaning that just like when an Isha, she receives a get whether she's an adult or she's a minor, so to an Eved Kenani receives a get Shichur whether he's an adult or he's a minor. Right, correct. Exactly. Now, if it's all this is just merely a deduction, so then can you argue? The Gemara says, sure you can. Adaraba. Dok mina lahakisa. Ma isha isur v'lo mamona. Av evanami isur v'lo mamona. The deal could go in the other direction. It's only referring to a gadol. Because just like a woman where there was no money and it's just isur, we're looking for the same thing regarding an Eved Kenani where there's no money, just an isur. That only exists by gadol, not by katan. Amrle befir shmirli. And over here, again, the conclusion is, no, it was not a deduction. I heard it explicitly that the halacha does not follow like Abishal. So, quick recap, and we'll continue tomorrow. We discussed today, just a quick discussion of people mistreating Shabbos, checking on their business on Shabbos, establishing meals during the Rav's drasha, freeing their avadim, which the common denominator between all three. Anyway, the big topic of today in the daf was Makdish and Mafkir your Eved Kenani. So Rav says that he goes free and you have to write him a get shichur. The Gemara spent a lot of time today challenging Rav, but ultimately the Gemara defended Rav's halacha. Rav Yochanan's in agreement with Rav that when you're Makdish and Mafkir your Eved Kenani, he goes free, but you also have to write a get shichur. And then the halacha that we discussed at the end of today's daf is that if a ger dies leaving Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani goes free immediately. There's no requirement of a get shichur. Why should that be? Ula explained because of the comparison between an Eved Kenani and a woman. Just like a woman, the death of the husband, he is allowed to go free. So to buy the Eved Kenani, the death of his master allows him to go free. What about if it's a Yisrael? Doesn't he go down to the next generation? The Gemara says yes, but that's the pasuk. Amemar and Ula do not go in alignment with one another. And we concluded today by discussing whether or not the Eved Kenani of the ger goes free or is able to be acquired. Machlok is between the Tanakama and Abishal, and a machlok is amongst the Amoraim who exactly Paskin like.